made for you. Yeah, I was made for you. Like a ship without a sea, or a song without a melody, I don't know where I'd be or what I'd do, 'cause I was made for you. Tiny shoes are made for tiny feet. My two arms are made for where you sleep. The sky was made for the moon and stars. You were made to steal my heart, and I was made for you. Yeah, I was made for you.
Elkhorn Media Group is here. Harney County Radio is the new 92.7 KZHC.
$0.89 in the ashtray. Half-empty bottle of Gatorade rolling in the floorboard. That dirty Braves cap on the dash, dog tags hanging from the rear view, old skull can and cowboy boots, and a gold army shirt folded in the back. This thing burns gas like crazy, but that's alright. People got their ways of coping, oh, and I got mine. I drive your truck, I roll every window down, and I burn up every back road in this town. I find a field, I tear it up till all the pains are cloud of dust. Yes, sometimes I drive your truck. Mama asked me this morning if I'd been by your grave, but that flag and stone ain't where I feel you anyway. I drive your truck, I roll every window down, and I burn up every back road in this town. I find the field, I tear till all the pain's a cloud of dust. Yes, sometimes I drive your truck. I've cussed, I've prayed, I've said goodbye, shook my fist and asked God why. These days when I'm missing you this much, I drive your truck. Sometimes I drive your truck.
me. Even when I'm ugly, still better love me. And I can be late for a date, that's fine, but you better be on time. Any man I'll say it fits just right when life's useless is just a little too tight. And anything I do will say better be okay when I have a bad hair day. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, another woman's looking better than me. And when I cook him dinner and I burn it black, he better say, I like it like that, yeah. But if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah. Show me a tease and squeeze and blaze and kind of time. I need a man who knows how the story goes. There's gotta be a heart beating fine, feeling worth taking, earthquake and kind. Any man of mine.
Our local Harney County community is filled with folks making a difference, and they join Mindy Gould here in the studio right now. It's Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. You're listening to Harney County Live. I'm Mindy Gould, and with me today, I've got Jacob Gear with the RFPAs, which is the Rangeland Fire Protection Associations.
Yeah, good morning, Mindy.
I'm great. So let's just start off. Go ahead and tell me about yourself and how you came here.
Okay. Yeah, as you said, my name is Jacob Gear, and I'm a Rangeland Fire Protection Association liaison. And so what I work for the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and my role is to work with the Rangeland Fire Protection Associations within Harney County. I grew up originally in Eastern Washington. I spent some time, 4 years down in California. I lived in Lakeview for a number of years. I worked here about 20 years ago and kind of moved all over. And I was glad to come back to the area and the wide open spaces. And so, no, glad to be here.
The peacefulness of this area. So what is it exactly that you do? What is your official title and
And what do you do for a living?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm the Rangeland Fire Protection Association liaison, and that's quite the tongue twister to try to remember. But what my role is when there's before a fire, you know, I help the Rangeland Fire Protection Associations with training and stuff. And then equipment, radios, just a contact, somebody that they can reach out to within the agency, when they need things. And, then, you know, during incidents, it's just to make sure that, they're tied in with RICs, that, relationships are going good. And then if we were to have a large fire, and hopefully we don't, that if we brought in an incident management team, my role is to help them fit into the process. It's a big cumbersome machine, especially when you're moving 500 or 1,000 people, and so I'm there to help them have their voices be heard.
Nice. So how long have you been doing this?
This is my 22nd year.
22nd years here in town, or
no, sorry,
just total.
22 years. This will be my, I think I moved here in January of 18.
Oh wow!
So
how did you get involved with all this? I mean, what's your background to where it's brought you to where you are today?
Yeah, so you know, I spent a number of years as a volunteer fireman, even as I worked for the agencies, with my time out of Tri-Cities, I worked with a lot of volunteer fire departments and stuff. And so I provided a lot of training and stuff with them. And so I think that it was a good fit. I understand also being a volunteer, what it took and the dedication that these folks have to be trained, to have their equipment ready. And I've always just enjoyed it. So when this opportunity came available, I thought, well, you know, that's something I really have always enjoyed is working with folks, you know, that have other professions, but still have a passion for this or, you know, protecting their community. And so that's how I came into this.
And so do you work with like the burns, interagency fire zones, and you do all of that? You work with the BLM?
Yep. So the Bureau of Land Management and the Fish and Wildlife Service, I'm a Fish and Wildlife Service employee. And my position came to be through the High Desert Partnership, through the Wildfire Collaborative that they had. There was identified a need that, that they wanted a liaison. And so at the time it was Jeff Rose, the BLM district manager, and Chad Carges, the project leader for Malheur Refuge, said that they made a commitment to the RFPAs and the folks within the Wildfire Collaborative that they would come up with a position to help with that. And so they did. And so I work for the Burns Interagency Fire Zone, but I'm there to help the Rangeland Fire Protection Association.
So you're pretty much a man of many hats.
Yes. I'm the guy in the middle hearing both sides going, oh boy, I can see both sides of this issue.
So how did the RFPAs and stuff come about? What's the little bit of a history behind it?
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of differences on how they all came to be. Different ones came at different times due to different reasons. You know, some of the ones the Fields Andrews RFPA, they're one of the oldest in the state of Oregon. I'm not sure why where they came to be originally or why, whether it had to do with a large fire or something like that. But another one that an example might be the French Glen RFPA that came after the Miller Homestead fire. Gary Miller, the RFPA president at the time, or the RFPA, now the RFPA president, decided to form an RFPA so that they could have a voice when a team comes in and that they could help put the fire out. And so that's how they came to be.
So are the RFPAs, what states are they in? Are they in every United States, you know, every state in the United States, or how do they justify that?
Yeah, so obviously, the state of Oregon has them, and the state of Oregon's kind of unique. It's got a lot of unprotected lands that have no fire protection to them. And then the Nevada has Fields Andrews. Now we'll go into Nevada under an agreement with the Bureau of Land Management out of Winnemucca. And I believe they have two others that just formed recently. And then there's the state of Idaho has RFPAs. And the state of Washington has been trying, or individuals within the state of Washington, but they do not have the unprotected acres to really justify it. And Washington's OSHA basically is a little more restrictive on training and PPE requirements. And so it'd be very hard for a volunteer organization to meet that.
So in order to have the RFPAs, it has to be unprotected wildland?
Yep. So RFPAs, basically they form a boundary. That boundary is approved through the state foresters. And then that becomes their protection within that area. And then with that, there's members, and ideally every member within those RFPA boundaries would pay their dues, and that would help support fire protection. And then they would, that RFPA would help represent all those landowners within that area. And so what's important about that is that it, within Harney County, you have no fire protection. The old, outside of the cities, really, the RFPAs are your only protection. And so I think it's important that everybody pays their dues or participates or somehow does their part for what they're getting for service out of them.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Harney District Hospital and the Center Orthopedics in Bend teamed up to provide orthopedic care in Harney County. They specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of disorders of the bones, joints, ligaments, tendons, muscles, and nerves. Working with HDH's orthopedic nurse practitioner Brad Mangum and highly qualified and experienced physicians from the center, they're able to perform orthopedic surgical services locally, saving you hours of travel. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 541-573-2074 or go to harneydh.com/orthopedics.
Craig here with Ed Staub & Sons. I was recently at a conference on great selling techniques. These included hypnosis, of all things. They didn't necessarily report that it was proven, but heck, let's try. Buy from Ed Staub & Sons. Buy oils and lubes at Ed Staub & Sons. Buy propane at Ed Staub & Sons. Oh, hey, it works. Here comes someone now. Gotta go. Ed Staub & Sons, 573-2622. Energy, community, service.
Business opportunity in Burns at the biggest little kitchen store in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets is looking for someone who wants a great local Harney County business opportunity. Jan's inventory is all for sale, no property included. Stop in, visit with Jan and Bob if you are interested, or call 573-1725. 573-1725. That's 573-1725 to discuss. Gourmet and Gadgets, 340 North Broadway in Burns.
Now back to the good stuff. Harney County Live, here on the new 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. I'm Mindy Gould, and with me today I've got Jacob Gere with the RFPAs. So we were just talking about what states and stuff have them in, have the RFPAs in them and stuff. So what are the actual qualifications for it? I mean, obviously open range land that's not protected, but is there like a certain amount of acreage that is required? Do you know?
Yeah. So the boundaries are typically quite large. As far as properties within those boundaries, there's no size limit to, no minimum, no maximum size, to be a member of the RFPA. I forgot the second part, see?
So you're saying to become a member, you pay your dues. So what is a member exactly? Is that just for the RFPAs to protect somebody else's property, or is that becoming a volunteer?
Thank you. All right. So to be a member, there's different ways. And so there's paying your dues, and that's a member property, meaning that the RFPA is protecting your land. And there's different due scales. The RFPAs, each one and their board makes that scale of what you'll pay per acre. Some is just you might be able to participate as a responding member and a trained member, and that might be your dues. And so it differs throughout all the whole state. And then there's actual members that respond to fires. And so within Harney County, there's about 176 trained folks. I guess actually probably more than that. We just did another training, so we got another like 20 this year. So a little under 200 people. And they take a real basic class. They take a full 190, it's called, which is kind of like the fire weather portion. They take the actual one we take. And then they take a, real shorter version of just kind of a basic safety. Here's how the incident command system works. Here's how to operate a radio and just kind of the stuff you need, the basic stuff.
If I remember correctly, the dues are fairly inexpensive for...
They are. For what you're getting and the service that you have. And the thing to remember is it's really just insurance. The RFPAs technically can do bill within their response areas. And so if you're not a member and there is a fire and they came and put it out or whatever, that they could bill you for that service. And so... you know, I live within a Silver Creek's RFPA, and I think my dues are about $100, something like that, a year.
And does it also, do they determine, you know, the cost per dues per year on what structures and stuff you have on there, or is it just like acreage?
So the important thing is the Rangeland Fire Protection Associations are strictly for rangeland. They are not for structural fires. They're not for vehicle fires, nothing like that. That is not the intent. And that was never the intent for the state of Oregon, for them to do that kind of stuff. And so, it's just based on your acreage, typically, a lot of them.
Okay. And then what about like the fire trucks and stuff like that, that they have, are they bought in by the landowners, or, I mean, how are those, you know, gathered up?
Yeah. So there's a few different programs that, you know, some stuff we can give them through the Bureau of Land Management or Fish and Wildlife Service, and that's the Rural Fire Readiness Program. And that's really just to enhance the capabilities within for our partners within our counties or the areas that we have public lands. And then that also allows us to provide training and that sort of stuff. Financial assistance, basically, because all that comes at a cost. We were able to give Fields Andrew Andrew's RFPA a truck a few years ago, and hopefully in the future we'll have more trucks come available, and then we'll be able to give them to our other RFPAs within the county. And then through the state of Oregon, there's a federal excess property program, and the state of Oregon Department of Forestry has an individual that helps manage all that equipment and stuff. And so the RFPAs put in requests to one of the folks I work with a lot, my counterpart, Marvin Vetter, who works for the Oregon Department of Forestry, and he covers the whole state. But he helps them get the vehicles and things through the Oregon Department of Forestry. They get old military trucks, Forest Service engines, things like that. Then they paint them and fix them up. And then some of them, depending on how they were acquired through DOD, they can then become the RFPA's property after about 5 years, I believe.
Now, when you say the RFPA, is that one individual person, or is that, you know, the group of...
No, they're a 501(c), and so then they would go to that group.
That group out there.
Yeah, would own the equipment.
Okay, and then you were saying about the training, the initial training. It's just like a one class type thing. Is there continued education that is needed?
So there's no requirement to have a refresher every year. So there's a 2-day basic class to get into it, but a lot of the RFPAs have recognized the importance of doing an annual refresher where we kind of go over the radio. Some of them have fire shelters, or most of them have fire shelters now. And so we go through fire shelter training. We talk about lessons learned from maybe a fatality or something and what happened. And then any changes for the year are important stuff. So we do that, and that's, you know, most of them we only do 3 or 4 hours, and that's all you have to do once a year. So, which I think is good.
And what are the qualifications? I mean, does one need to have fire background and stuff like that to come into this position?
No. So to be a responding member within the RFPA, you know, you live within the boundary, or maybe a family member lives within the boundary, and you reach out to your RFPA, they'll be able to help you. One of the presidents or board members or somebody, they'll be able to help you find when we put one of these courses on. And then you just attend the 2-day class. And then ideally, you know, you're going to get your PP&E or your personal protective equipment. And then you'll do your yearly refresher. And that's all you have to do. And when there's an incident, you can be there to, you know, the whole concept of RFPAs is neighbors helping neighbors. And so you'll be able to help your neighbor. Because the worst thing is when you... I think people get really frustrated when they want to go fight a fire or do something, but they haven't put the time in to get the proper training. And if you haven't put the time in to do the proper training, then you're a liability and you're taking away from us putting out the fire, because we're worried about you being in the wrong spot. You don't have the right equipment. We don't have communications. And so you're actually hampering the suppression efforts. And I've seen that happen quite a bit.
So if one were to become an RFPA, where would they go to discuss that? And do you guys hire, or not hire, but recruit year round? Or is there just like a certain window that's...
Yeah, so all the RFPAs send out mailers and stuff for dues within their boundaries. And so when you get that mailer, there's always the information or contacts and things like that. Typically list when the trainings are and who to contact for if you would like to attend that training. And then that's the way to go about it, is you'll get your yearly mailer and then contact them and tell them you're interested. Or if you just ask around, or feel free to, people can reach out to me, send me an email or something, and I can get you set up with the right person, and I can give you my email address, and it's Jacob, JCOB underscore gear, GAR at FWS.GOB, and I'll get them set up.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC, and in studio with me today, I've got Jacob Gear with RFPAs.
Help us help you. CAN Cancer of Harney County is conducting an assessment of local cancer patients to identify cancer-related needs and barriers to care. Cancer patients currently undergoing or who have undergone cancer treatment while living in Harney County are encouraged to take this survey, open now through August 13th. Find a link to the online version of the survey on the CAN Cancer of Harney County Facebook page, and paper copies are available at Harney District Hospital, the Health Department, and the Health Clinic on the Burns Paiute Reservation. For more details, call Stephanie Weissman at 541-573-8614.
Craig here, Harney County. What is an expert? A person who has a comprehensive knowledge or skill. If you need an expert, who do you call? Well, Jake at State Farm if you need insurance questions answered. But if you're cold, need hot water, portable power, you're cooking, grilling, or heating, and want to use clean, reliable, affordable, and efficient propane, call Ed Stobbinsons, 573-2622. We put the pro in propane.
Special occasions are happening and you want to be prepared. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets in Burns has walls of wonderful gifts. Kitchen supplies, linens, pottery, hydro flasks, yummy sweets. The list goes on and on. Have a wedding coming up, birthday, or need a gift just to say thank you? Gourmet and Gadgets can help you find just what you want, and they offer free gift wrap on your purchases. Shop the biggest little kitchen shop in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets in Burns.
Don't worry, we didn't forget about you. Now back to Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 92.7 KZHC. You're listening to Harney County Live. I'm Mindy Gould, and with me today, I've got Jacob Gear with the RFPAs. So we've touched bases about schooling and the history and the fire trucks and everything like that. So if a fire does break out, how do the RFPAs, how do they get the call and know where to go?
Yeah, so a few different ways. A lot of times they'll know about them before we will, because they're out watching for lightning, or they know lightning's coming through, and they're in the areas, and maybe a neighbor calls them and know they have a fire truck. But beyond that, 911 calls come in. Harney County Dispatch, they'll send what's called an alert sense. Some folks might already be signed up for them for WOOF notifications, things like that. But they'll send an alert sense out to the RFPA. And then the other one is they'll call or they'll call the Burns Interagency Dispatch Center up at the Burns BLM office there. And then they'll notify one of the fire bosses or a president and say, hey, we have a fire, or send a text page saying here's a fire and here's the location, and then the RFPAs will call back, let us know what's responding and what they have available, kind of thing.
So if an RFPA goes out, do you guys automatically go out as well?
No. So if it's a threat to public lands, then yes, we would respond automatically. If it's not a threat to public lands, then what would happen is if that RFPA made a request for our assistance, then we would go because they have protection for the private lands. And so that's their responsibility. But we have what's called a reciprocal agreement where I'll come help you, you come help me. And so if they ask, if either of us ask for each other's help, then we'll go help each other.
And have you guys gone out yet this year?
They've been out a few times. You know, probably one most people know is they folks from Lone Pine and Crane RFPA were out at the hay truck fire there across from the research station.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Running out of things. So how many of you are at the Burns Interagency that work with this?
Just me.
You're the only one.
Yeah. So I'm very, Harney County is very unique in the sense that we have somebody that's dedicated to working with the RFPAs. And that's where I was kind of talking about that Wildfire Collaborative. And so that Wildfire Collaborative made that happen so that Harney County could have someone go out and help these folks with training and get equipment and all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the things that they did.
So I just lost what I was going to say. So
I do that daily. That's all right.
It was like right there on the tip of my tongue. So just because there is a fire does not mean that the BLM or any of them will go out.
Yep. So the important thing to remember is all throughout Harney County is once, I might have mentioned this a little bit earlier, but once you go outside the city, there's no fire protection. And that's where the RFPAs come in. And that's if you pay your dues, you have protection from them. If you don't pay your dues, really, they could maybe potentially not go if they chose to. The cities, obviously, you know, if you're not a subscriber, they have no reason to go out and put your fire out because they're then gifting funds from the citizens within that city. And then same with, there's no reason that somebody out in the middle of nowhere in Harney County that somebody in Maine should pay for their fire protection. And so that's kind of why it's important to pay your dues.
So how many fire trucks are there?
So within the county, there's about 70 something fire trucks within the county. And the way they count them, some of those could be a pickup truck with just a pump in the back and stuff. So, but there's a lot, and there's 16 water tenders and there's 27 bulldozers that could be available within the county. So not all of them are RFPA owned. The RFPA owns, they own like five, I think, that are actually the RFPAs within the counties. But the rest are ranchers and things like that that say, yeah, if we get a fire, I'm more than willing and I'm trained and we'll use my dozer.
And if there is a fire, say out like the one across from the field station, for example, how far do they go?
So there's a few spots within Harney County, and I wish I could say exactly where they are, that still have no protection. So they don't fall within ODF's protection. They don't fall within an RFPA or any of the fire department's protection. But other than that, most of the county is covered through an RFPA. And the RFPAs will... their boundaries, some are smaller, some are quite large, and they'll respond within those boundaries or a threat or any time any of the neighbors ask for help. I went over to the Bratton Fire last year, which was just outside of Paisley, and Silver Creek RFPA was there, and I'm trying to remember who else. Crane went, excuse me. So Crane and Silver Creek both sent some engines over to Paisley to give them a hand over there. So they'll go with it anywhere to help somebody that needs help.
So you said that there's a small area here in the county that's not covered by any of that. Why is that?
Well, the RFPAs themselves make their boundaries. Nope, the state doesn't tell anybody that this is going to be an RFPA or this is a boundary or anything like that. So whatever the RFPAs draw their boundaries up as, that's a boundary.
Gotcha. So there's nobody currently over in that area. So what happens if it catches on fire? It just goes?
Well, if it's, you know, it depends if it's a threat to somebody else. If it's a threat to somebody else, then yeah, they potentially, it's a really hard question. And I think, you know, that's one of the problem with having unprotected lands within the state of Oregon, where you don't see that typically through other states. Because you're not guaranteed fire protection, you're on your own. But you're not being taxed for it, so that's the plus side. So if you don't like paying taxes, so.
Well, perfect. Well, we are completely out of time, so I really appreciate you coming in and explaining how the RFPAs work and the history behind it and everything. Thank you for listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHC.
KZHC FM, Burns, Hines. Now.